What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 282, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Just trying to stay cool, man. It's hot outside.
Yeah, summertime.
That's all that's going on. It's like trying to stay cool.
Yeah, it's actually, I mean, the weather's been good here, like good. Just normal sunny 70. That's it, sunny 70.
I wish.
I mean, not really complaining all that much, so.
Good.
But I do know what you mean, because like the incredibly like hot, humid, just sticky summer weather is not always the funnest. But when it gets to wintertime, you wish you had that hot weather.
Nah.
At least. No,
no, not at all.
Oh,
okay. I'll take the cold any day of the week.
Okay. Well, welcome everybody to the podcast. If you're new here, we talk about tech. We talk about some reviews we've been doing and kind of just what's going on in the PC hardware world. If you want to follow along with everything that we are talking about, we have our full show notes page that is linked in the description of the video. You can see it right here. It has everything that we'll be talking about this week, so you guys can go ahead and follow along. We'll start out with our reviews this week, and I took a look at two pretty cool products. The first one is from a company called Mountain, which they're actually known for. We actually talked about them maybe towards the beginning of the year for their they had like their modular
keyboard.
Yeah, they had it's called their Everest modular keyboard. But they reached out and they said, we have our first ever gaming mouse, the lightweight gaming mouse. Do you want to check it out? And I said, sure. You know me, I've been converted to the lightweight gaming mouse side, and I want to check it out. So this is called the Makalu 67, which is named that, like all they're called Mountain because all of their products are named after mountains. I believe the Makalu is the fifth or sixth highest peak in the world. But this is their lightweight mouse, 67, because it's only 67 grams. I actually have it right here. Comes in white or black versions. They sent over the white one. And it's your pretty standard lightweight gaming mouse. Now, the biggest thing that I found with all the lightweight gaming mice that I've reviewed is that you can do them good or you could do them bad. The easier ways to do them bad is, one, you make them too small. We saw that with the Corsair mouse. I forget what it was called. But that one was too small. Even the Cooler Master one is a little small. And two, it's cheaply made. So the biggest thing with a lot of these mice is this section right here, which, again, these are all made of plastic because they're meant to be lightweight. This section right here, especially, it was a big deal on the Cooler Master ones when they came out, was that if you press on it, it would actually bend in. And if you press hard enough on some of them, you could actually, like, the two pieces would come apart. Well, I was pleasantly surprised on this mouse. It is solid. And if it's lightweight, but it just, like, there's no flex in the side of the mouse at all. Which is really good overall. Again, as I said, this is a pretty standard mouse, two main mouse buttons, two buttons on the side, and then you have a DPI button and scroll wheel. Very standard, mainly made, I would say, more for FPS games. You have all of your cutouts here, which definitely helps with cutting down that weight. Now, for those who are clumsy, you don't have to worry about spilling because the PCB and all the components do have a waterproof coating on them. So if you were to spill, it's not going to necessarily ruin your mouse. So you have that there. You have the lightweight cable, which isn't as good as some of the other ones, but it's not like it's like a lightweight braided sort of cable. It's much better than a rubber cable. It's much better than a normal braided cable as well. So I really like that. Not a whole lot of drag on it, which I liked. And the big difference with this mouse compared to others, well, there's two big differences. One, if we look at it from the side, you can see just how tall it is. It's Yeah, it takes a little bit of time to get used to because it's not most of the lightweight gaming mice are very much low profile, and this is, as you can see, not so much. So I kind of like that, and again, it takes a little bit of time to get used to, but it, like I said, I do like the shape, the overall shape of it, but you can see it has a pretty big hump to it, so definitely something there to keep in mind. And then secondly, if we look at the actual buttons on the mouse, they're flat buttons, so there's most of the buttons you see, let me bring myself up real big so I can kind of show you this. So here is my Razer Viper Ultimate, and you can see the buttons are concave or convex? I always forget.
Concave.
Yeah, see how they're concave? Let me see if I can kind of put that up there so you guys can see that.
Focus on you.
Yeah, I guess. So you can kind of see that. Whereas this one, you can let me put it on top of my eyes. You can see these are very flat. You can see, and I thought that was going to be a deal breaker for me. I really did. Just for the fact that, you know, when your fingers sit on the ones that are concave, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Sit on the ones that are concave. They it's comfortable. It kind of gives you a place for your fingers, and they don't slide off easily. I thought that was going to be an issue, but with this mouse, it was not an issue. This also has the newer sensor. This has the PixArt PAW3370, 19,000 DPI, and it has a 50% lower error rate than the PMW3389, which is like the standard optical sensor in so many mice. So a very, very nice sensor. You have the two mouse feet, and the mouse actually comes with two extra ones. So if these wear out, you get two more. And they are rounded, which is really good to see on the edges there. And they have the little indents, so they're easy to... I can hear you. I can hear me.
Audio is good. Yeah.
Shinny in the chat.
Shinny's in the chat saying he couldn't hear us. But Shinny, audio is good.
You're being like Ryan, and your audio is all messed up. So, the edges are rounded, and they have the little indents, so you can take the old ones off easily and put the new ones on. So overall design, everything, I really, really liked it. Very qualities there, which I liked as well. Shinny saying, I can hear other YouTube taps. I used to have this problem, Shinny. And what you do is if you change your audio device as you had YouTube open, the newer tabs will want to go to the old device or vice versa. I've had that happen a bunch. So if you completely close Chrome or whatever browser that you're using and then reopen it,
hear what you're telling him.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. Well, I'm trying to do live tech support here. Just close all your windows and then reopen them. But moving back onto the mouse, obviously being a gaming mouse, it has software, and their software is actually really good. Being that, again, everything in their company is around mountains. This is called Basecamp, and it works for all of their devices, just like, say, Corsair IQ would. And very simple. Everything, is in here. You can set up profiles. You can do the lighting on the mouse. You can set up your different key bindings. Every key is completely reprogrammable. You can disable your buttons. You can do all that kind of stuff. And it works really well. For a new company, relatively new, I'm very impressed with the software. It works very easily. It's nicely made. It doesn't feel like it's 7 years old like some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. So it's very good. And then as far as lighting on the mouse, you just have this little RGB ring here in center. Not a whole lot of lighting in this section. I would have liked to see more lighting down here, coming through.
Where's
these
that
holes.
Blue glow coming from? On the
that's coming
there?
From
coming from that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's coming from that. So you get you get a little bit, but it would have been nice to have some RGBs down here. That's just me.
I do kind of like that lighting choice though. I like that the oval shape there.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool and something different. So overall, like I said, for their first gaming mouse, they've done the lightweight gaming mouse correctly, in my opinion. I think it just works like I said, very, very good. The mouse is only $59.99, which I would say is right on par. Like I said, everything's good about this mouse. The only thing, like I said, it would have been nice to have just a little bit more RGB lighting, but that's just me. But I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. So if you are looking for a lightweight gaming mouse, this is one that I would recommend. I know Mountain's not as well known as a brand, but everything is good. Like I said, the product's good as well as the software. So you should have a good experience if you go ahead and pick that up. So check out that review. And then I also took a look at another Gen 4 NVMe SSD. This one comes from Sabrent. It's their Rocket 4 Plus. This is the Phison E18 based controller with Micron 96 layer TLC NAND. They sent us over the 2 terabyte version, which is rated for speeds of 7,000 megabytes a second read and 6,850 megabytes a second write. How do you feel about those speeds?
It's nuts.
And overall, most of these drives, these E18 based drives, they're all going to be the same. Because everybody's using Micron 96 layer TLC and everybody's using the Phison controller. The differences you'll see would be in firmware and then overall like design of the drive itself. But this drive is the only real difference you're going to see in this drive is this top sticker here is actually made of copper. So it is going to provide a little bit of cooling, but this does not come with any other cooling. Now they do provide their own cooler that you can buy for $24.99. But again, most people, if you know, this is for Gen 4. So if you're on Z590 or X570, your motherboard should have M.2 coolers and they're more than powerful enough for this. But just like we saw with the other drive, that E18 controller can get pretty hot. You see in our first run of AutoDisk benchmark, towards the end here, our writes just take a hit. You can see that right there.
Is that running it with just that sticker on there?
Nothing in addition. We run it again with this cooler, which is theirs, which has 3 heat pipes. It's a beast of a cooler. And you can see no issues at all. Pretty solid performance across the bar there. So if we go to our results, comparing this to all of the other Gen 4 drives that we've tested, it's up there. Again, all of these are going to perform a little bit different depending on firmware optimizations and things like that. But you can see it is very, very fast. It's very, very fast drive.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's trading out between first, second, and third place, depending on which test it is. So yeah, definitely in the mix.
Yeah. For sure. So very, very fast drive. And as far as pricing, the 2 terabyte is $469.99. That's kind of the price of these E18 based drives are kind of around the same. The what was the one for the Mushkin one is actually less expensive, but that one does not come with any software. This one does come with software where you can update the firmware. And we know that we have seen in the past very good firmware optimizations that solve a lot of problems and can actually, you know, fix problems and they can improve performance. So that's definitely something to think about. This is backed, I believe, with a 5-year warranty. The only problem with their warranty, Sabrent does, is they make you register for it. It's just like you have to register the product. Some people are against that, but overall, really good drive. Again, super, super fast. One of the fastest drives we've ever tested. And I gave it 9 out of 10. So,
gotcha. Hey, can you go to side by side real quick?
Yeah.
Our image. Close that download at the bottom of your browser.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Cool.
There we go. Not that they would know what that was, but they might. But they might. But yeah, very cool. I think that, again, all of these E18-based drives are going to be the same. So kind of just like if you're leaning towards one company, they're mostly going to be the same. The only time you see something different when it comes to Gen 4 drives is if the company, like Samsung is making their own controller or there are ones that do come with coolers specifically. so you won't have to worry about overheating if you don't have the cooler. But overall, this E18 controller is pretty awesome. So let's move on to Case Mod Friday. And man, this build this week,
this is awesome.
Let me actually bring up the case that it's built on, because then you'll see
how much it changes.
Yeah, I don't think it's the IQ version, but we'll just bring up the IQ version. I think it's but anyways. So this build that we're gonna be talking about is based on this case. I don't think it's the black version. It's based on the Corsair IQ 5000X. But you can see it's pretty, like I said, pretty nice case, but pretty basic case. This is the case that's built on. Now, this is what has been done to it. This is by AK Mod. If you don't know about AK Mod, you need to, because his stuff is some of the best stuff out there. We featured a ton of his builds, and he completely transformed this. It looks nothing like, obviously, that case. This is called the Mecha 5000X. Mostly all Corsair water cooling in there as well. You have this thing looks like, the custom feet.
I love the feet. They look so awesome. Like it's just going to adjust its height and stance. There is just awesome.
Yeah. These like custom front things.
The fan grills are awesome.
Yeah. Up top too, these, it looks obviously like something out of a movie. You can see some of the detail there. This one is just...
And I couldn't really tell. I'm guessing a lot of this stuff was 3D printed, like those fan grills.
Probably.
So custom, right? And so precise, like every one of them is exactly the same. I'm guessing they designed them and printed them.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome.
And the little canisters at the back... on the back legs.
Oh, right here, yeah.
Just so much attention to detail on this thing.
Yeah, you just have to admire the attention to detail on this, even more than the actual PC hardware that is inside. I mean, it's just, it's really, really cool. I could imagine, I know what case, because, this is, I assume this is Corsair sponsored. Like, of course, it's like, yeah, we'll send you a 5000X, what am I going to build with it? And then, you build this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You're like, what? And it's like, you didn't notice, there are the two reses on the back. I mean, how cool is that? Yeah. And like you said, these little canisters in the back, and this little section right here lights up. And yeah, I was absolutely blown away. And all this interior stuff that he had built, all these gold pieces that hold, this one holds obviously the graphics card on this side. And
It's got the tilted motherboard. The motherboard's rotated around, right?
Yeah.
To a different orientation. Yeah, it's like that case is pretty much gutted. And I think it's actually a different back, whole back to the case as well. That panel that would
probably be
the back of your case. It looks pretty thick, like a machined aluminum piece there.
Yeah, that's just awesome. So definitely check this out. Shinny in the chat, he said, hot damn. Yeah. it's just again, you see these, you see these guys and they just build these things and you're just like, what? Like, I'd love this to have this sitting on my desk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how cool would that be? There's what the front looks like.
It really gets wide.
Yeah. From the two sections that kind of pop out there. But, and then he did a custom holder for
that. I'm glad you showed that, because I thought that looks awesome.
Yeah, custom holder for the headset, and then he put some little custom bits on there. What is this? This is K65. Yeah, which I have. So really cool stuff, again, from AK Mod. Definitely check this one out on the site for sure. And that brings us to news, and we got some interesting stories this week, I would say. First is that Intel did have an event, I forget what it was called. Oh, Intel Accelerated event. That's what it's called. And they gave details on Alder Lake, Sapphire Rapids, Meteor Lake, and Granite Rapids CPUs. Basically the design, so you can see kind of how these chips are laid out. Obviously for us, Alder Lake is kind of what we're interested in. But it's kind of cool to see how they have, like, you know, the compute and the SoC and the GPU die. Like, you can see kind of how these things are all set up. You know what I mean? Definitely cool to see. The big announcement is that Alder Lake will not be 10 nanometer. It'll be 7 nanometer.
Okay. So they're not skipping ahead like some people were thinking, you know, are they going to just go from 10 to 7? Or are we going to see them go maybe to 5? But yeah.
Yeah.
No. I think, and it'll be curious to see like what efficiency gains they get with that that drop, because, you know, 7 isn't necessarily new by any means, but it'll be new for Intel. We'll see what they can do with it.
Yeah, and then Intel also announced a event happening on October 27th to the 28th. This event is going to be called Intel Innovation. And the event is going to be in San Francisco, both physically, obviously, and virtually. And that's when, supposedly, Alder Lake will be at least announced, I think. And again, if you don't know, Alder Lake is going to be a hybrid CPU. So you're going to have 8 high-performance cores, which are called big cores, and then 8 more smaller cores, or like more efficient cores. So 16 core configuration, but the 8 are the high performance cores, and the 8 are the only ones that will support, say, like hyper threading and things like that. So that's gonna make things very interesting. I think this could be a big change for Intel and how processors are built going forward, because again, in all of our processors we have, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 cores, but they're all the same. All the cores are the same. And they all kind of do the same task, where now we're getting efficient cores and high performance cores, and they're going to work in conjunction. So that's going to be pretty
smart, though.
Yes, I think that's very smart. Obviously, that's going to make things more efficient, which another story that we'll talk about, obviously, with power consumption a little bit later. But yeah, efficiency is a big thing. I mean, especially. I mean, we're on the desktop side. But especially on the laptop and tablet and small, thin and light devices, you want the most efficiency you can have, because you want the battery life to
absolutely be longer. I mean, I've been kind of mobile the last week or so with how work's been going, and it'd be so nice to have, you know, like some of the time I'm just like sitting there, I need my laptop available for me whenever I need it, so it's just kind of idling. It'd be nice if it was those small cores idling, right, and taking up less power but still keeping things running, and then when I need to kick over to a demanding application, or just I start working in multiple things, maybe a couple big cores kick in, or whatever the case may be. Yeah, that'd be so nice to have.
Yeah.
Not as big of a deal on the desktop side of things, like you said. But
I mean, we do have what are the modes? What are they called? The states,
like your power
the
modes.
Yeah, the
your C states.
We like with what was that? 2 generations ago that started the C states. 3. I forget, but in any case, we do have C states. But I think this is going to be even more, because again, even with those C states, you still needed certain cores active. This, you could have the more efficient cores active, where the other ones are not. I think, you know, Intel has been behind, really, especially in the desktop segment, as far as like enthusiasts and things like that. And I think this might be a way for them to come back and just do things differently. So again, October 27th and 28th, we'll give you all the details, and I'm sure there's going to be more leaks before that event. So we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. Talking about leaks, an Intel Core i9-12900K, we've talked about this. This is a QS chip that their scores were leaked for Cinebench, and it outperforms the 5950X. And again, as we talked about, the 5950X is 16 cores. Sure. This 12900K again is supposed to be 16 cores, but again, as I said, it's 8 high performance cores and 8 high efficiency cores. And those high efficiency cores don't support hyper threading or any of that stuff. So if we look at the single thread, it handily beats the 5950X. It scores in Cinebench R20 single thread. It gets an 810, whereas the 5950X gets a 643. So single core performance, very, very good. I believe this 12900K is supposed to operate at 5.3 gigahertz. So obviously with single thread, yeah, it's gonna beat it. But go to multi-thread and it still beats it. So in multi-thread, it scores 11,600, where the 5950X scores 10,409. Again, if you think about it, the 12900K will be priced at a more reasonable price than the 5950X, which was $799 when it launched, where the 12900K will be $599, supposedly. So at least we're seeing this performance. As you know, you remember the last Intel launch, the performance was, you know, we like to see every, you know, if, whether it's from Intel, whether it's from AMD, we like to see these leaks. And it's like, oh, it's beaten it, you know, and then they have to have a war back and forth over, you know, right, like we got to wait, you know, 3 more months and then the AMD and then it beats it. And then it obviously, them going back and forth obviously helps the end user because they want to say that they're the fastest processor, and that helps us, the end user. So pretty exciting. And again, this is a QS, which means that it's not everything is final. We might get better performance still down the line. So that's very exciting to see that. Talking about AMD, it looks like we're going to see some mini PCs come out. Very decent performance, high-end mini PCs. They're going to feature AMD's Ryzen 9 5900HX, which is their high-end APU, in like a little thing like this.
They use nice little home servers.
Like nice little home server, almost kind of looks like a Mac Mini. But we've seen this in the NUX and things like that, and it's good to see it on the AMD side. So the 5900HX has their Vega graphics built in, and just like this nice little look at this dual NIC and everything you got over here, you know.
We don't have like a vendor or anybody that's kind of committed to building these, do we? None of the manufacturers have officially confirmed price. So do we have anybody that's, because in the past we've seen like ASRock a lot of times do a mini PC.
Nobody big on over here in the United States has really put anything, but I think this will, because I mean, imagine like, especially for business and where you need, like you might need, because the 5900HX is a very nice APU as far as performance, where you need a little bit more performance. You need some graphics, but not a whole lot. And this is where you can kind of get away without doing like a discrete, you know, system. And it has such a small footprint. Yeah. I think it's, would work out pretty well, I think. So pretty excited to see that, these cool little systems. I always love these like just little boxes that you could, you know.
Yeah, I got, I reviewed a mini PC probably 2 years ago here, and I got it out the other day for that stand desk I'm working on. And I was like,
yeah,
this form factor is so nice.
Yeah, I mean, just super tiny. Just, and again, like this is something you could like throw in a backpack and like take to a buddy's house and then hook it up to their monitor or whatever, you know, or, you know. So definitely stay tuned for that. There's going to be some cool stuff there for sure. What else do we have? So Radeon RX 6600 XT and RX 6600. The MSRPs have been announced. So I'll let you tell me your thoughts. So 6600 XT, $349.
6600, $299. Okay. It's a little higher than I would like to see.
Yeah.
But I, with prices the way they are right now, and, you know, like nobody paying MSRP for anything anyways, for the most part, these are, I think, a fair starting price. I think we're just past the days of being able to have like a mid-range card you know, or a true mid-range card for that $300 or less price point, right? $300 used to be a pretty high.
Well, the thing is, too, is you think about it, like, these cards are easily going to be able to do 1080p games at the fastest. So, like,
$300, like, that's a pretty good deal.
I mean, that was the mid-range card, right? Mm-hmm. So now that's, like, the low-end card.
Yeah.
Because the mid-range card is, I mean, you think about it, 1080p, 1440, 4K. 4K is obviously the high end. Mid-range is the 1440p now. So you're going to be paying, you know, $400, $500, $600 for that mid-range card. And you're paying, you know, $700, $800, $900
It's just a larger piece of your overall cost pie going towards your GPU.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting bigger.
But yeah, these are supposed to launch. When did we say these are supposed to launch? The 11th of August?
A couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks. So be excited to see different EIB models. And if we are going to get for that 6600, that one that we had been showing with a single fan in the center. Shinny asks, do they have a 6700 series? Yes, they do. Same thing. 6700 XT as well as 700 non-XT. I don't know the prices on those because I forget. But and if you can find them, as you know, with this whole global shortage of everything electronic.
No, there's no, there's just a 6700 XT. There's no 6700.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there is a 6700 XT. So sorry for the confusion there. But yeah. I'm okay with the prices. So every time we get it, like even when we were doing our reviews of the 30 series, especially the later ones that came after the initial launch, we're like, here's a card that you can't get at the price that NVIDIA is telling us that it would be. You know what I mean? I don't know. But that's just the GPU world right now. Here's one of the more interesting stories of the week. Is that Dell on their website, if you wanted to order one of their new Aurora R12 or R10 gaming desktops, you would get this message right here that would say, this product cannot be shipped to the states of California, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Vermont, or Washington due to power consumption regulations adopted by those states. Any orders placed that are bound for those states will be canceled. So I guess there was new legislation that went into effect starting July 1st in those states. Those are six states that limits the maximum kilowatt hour usage of select devices and gaming PCs. Pre-built gaming PCs are one of those devices. And this is, I was trying to read through all of this and all of these kilowatt hour things and all whatever, it's very confusing. And if it's confusing to me, I think it's going to be confusing to a lot of people. But I guess high-end desktops cannot consume more than 75 kilowatt hours per kilowatt hours a year. But if it's a equipped with a discrete graphics card or some other adder, so like another adder would be like memory or something else that a user could, if it was user upgradable, then you can increase that number. But if you look at these systems, like a Core i5 11400F and a GTX 650.
Like that's nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And unless even the power supplies, unless they're shipping them with like a non high efficient power supply. But I think every like Dell's at least going to ship it with a bronze.
Yeah, but it, I mean, even this next one, a Core i7 11700F and an RTX 3060 Ti, 16 gigs of RAM. Like it doesn't. Like
tons of people are going to run up against this. Like, it's not just going to be Dell if those are the statistics or the bars that they're working off of, right?
Yeah. I mean, especially this lower one. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. But what does this mean for like the, and again, this does not, if you're building your own PC, this does not apply, at least not yet. We could see that down the road.
How are you going to monitor that?
just the you won't be like it's, I mean just like
graphics cards you can't manufacture a graphics card that consumes over 100 watts or something.
No, you just won't be able to ship it to states that implement these things. Just like California has some, I just moved here recently, but they have, is it Prop 65 or Prop whatever? I don't know what it's called, but like you can't get certain things shipped to California because of certain laws. So like that's it. Like, so say the new Intel chip comes out and it's not as efficient, you just won't be able to ship it to California. Like if I go on Amazon, I won't be able to buy it. Kind of like the same thing.
Start taping them to your legs like they were doing. CPUs in China.
Obviously, that's not. These are for pre-built systems only currently. But I just feel like those. I mean, this spec is nowhere near. I mean, I'm just like looking at my 3090 and like, and all these RGB fans, and you know, like.
I mean, what do you think that one that $1,100 system, the first one there, or the first one that's in the red box, the 1099 box, like how many watts is that thing sitting idle?
I mean, idle, like 50,
right? 50 to 100 maybe, at the most.
I mean, my 3080, my i9 10900K with a 3080, 16 gigs of RAM, that idles between 60 and 80, depending on which motherboard I use. So that's on idle. Obviously, load, it can go way up, but this is all, I don't see, again, this is like so hard to understand. Like, what is this based on? You know, idle, is this, you know, But they are saying, so obviously Dell's one of the first ones to put these disclaimers. Some of the other companies haven't done it yet. I don't know if they'll be dealt out fines or they'll be, you know, what that will be. But ways to get around it. One, I mean, you'll see PC makers make systems specifically for this spec. I mean, just like we talk about guns. I mean, there's California specific guns and gun parts because of the laws here. You know, so you could see that being done. Also, you could see, because like if it's user upgradable, it doesn't fit into the pre-built per se. So if they ship it without the graphics card installed and you just install the graphics card, that eliminates it from the regulations, apparently. From what I've read, I've tried to really research this, and it's still very confusing.
That's not really good for their customers, right? That just want to buy a Alienware and plug it in. But yeah.
And I've even said, people were saying that, you know, they'll you get a something like shipped to like Arizona, and then somebody will drive it to you, or all that stuff. But I also saw somebody else comment on Reddit, and they said that this is going to bring us back to the old days of Intel, where we never got any, we didn't get real performance boost. We just got like that, you know, 3-5% performance increase year. And we were stuck on quad core. Like, this is going to bring us back to that, because you, with high performance, you're not going to be able to meet these regulations. I don't know. Shinny said, you're going to have to smuggle in pre-built PCs. And this is crazy. This is crazy to me, because we were talking about this in this group chat I'm in. It's like, how many old like AC units, you know, talking about like, because it's all about efficiency. Like, how many old AC units are like
just rattling around, sucking up power and putting out warm air? Yeah.
But I mean, it's just like, obviously we're PC people, so we feel for the PC people. But it's just like. And again, this is not DIY, but I mean, you could see this going to DIY eventually.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, it could be 5-10 years from now, but it's like, oh, the new Intel or new AMD chip or the new graphics, I can't get it because I can't get it in my state.
Oh, I got to buy that Cali version.
Yeah, I got to buy that Cali version that's like crippled, you know, it's like the
non-crypto cards. You guys get the non-hyper-threaded models or something.
But like, I mean, that's kind of the crazy thing about this, is that could be, I mean, again, we don't know, but I mean, it's kind of, and again, if you're like somebody, your parents give you like $2,000 and then like, yeah, buy, just go buy an Alienware. And then you like, you go to the web, you're pumped and you see this, you're like, what, you know? But I'm sure these companies obviously care about their bottom line and they obviously care about sales. So they're going to work around the regulation however they can.
Yep.
So I don't know. Pretty interesting. We'll see what happens. We'll see how many more companies kind of have these disclaimers on their website. If people fight back against it, if they try to mitigate by making it not a pre-built by having you install your own graphics card or memory, I would think memory would be easier than a graphics card for sure.
Yes.
But then like these are meant to look nice and their panels are very hard to take off of any of these new.
Yeah. With pre-builds. Them being curved like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not easy. They're not like a normal tower. So that could be a problem, but in any case, we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that one. Also, talking about awesome stuff. I want this so much. Samsung announced their brand new. So we remember we were there. We played with the Odyssey G9 at CES. 49-inch, ultra-wide, curved. They have a new one. It's called the Neo G9. Same 49 inches. This one is 240 hertz, so definitely get your games on with it. And it has the mini LED backlight. I don't know if you remember when we saw that demo of mini LED at NVIDIA, where they showed that fire scene in the one game, and you could tell where you were there.
Yes, in the I forget what game that was now, but yes, sorry, I do remember that.
Yeah, so this monitor has that. And it, you know, if you look at like how that works,
yeah, your dimming zones. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like night and day. If you've ever seen it in person, mini LED, this also is going to get quantum HDR 2000 specification, 200 nits brightness. This thing is going to be amazing. 1 ms response time. As I said, 240 hertz. Yeah, supports NVIDIA G-Sync, AMD FreeSync Premium Pro, two USB ports, headphone jack.
Sweet.
How much do you think this is going to be? Give me your guess. I already know how much, but I
don't know.
How
much do you think? 2,500.
You're right on the mark. Pre-order nice. Now. $2,500.
All right. Let me get my wallet out.
Yeah. Nope.
It's impressive to see, especially in person. You're like, damn, this is a big monitor and they look so nice. It'll be cool to see this, but it's too much for me.
Way too much for me. I think I have this 49 now, but when I was looking at buying my own 49, $1,000 was like the limit for me. Mm-hmm. Because $1,000 was like, obviously this is, I sit here, I do more work than play sitting here at this desk. So as a work investment, $1,000 was like the max that I would go for something like that. $2,500 is a lot. I know people that have spent that on TVs and stuff. And I know in the past I've spent that on a TV. But that's just a lot of money for a monitor. And I know the price is going to eventually go down as we see more companies getting some of the same type of features in a 49-inch, the prices will go down. But I want one of these for sure. If anybody wants to buy me one, I will happily take it. So pretty awesome. If you guys haven't seen it, they have a video if you want to check it out. Very, very awesome stuff. This next one might be good for you, Ryan, because you're a storage guy. Yeah. Seagate will be launching, will mass market 20-terabyte hard drives. I know we haven't been talking about hard drives much lately, but if you think about it, like I'm looking to upgrade my PC build. I'm like, yeah, like I have a couple 2-terabyte NVMe SSDs, but like 20 terabytes is like, think about that. And like, that's just so much space.
That's space. Like one of my NASs is just a 2-bay and I only have 8-terabyte drives in it that are mirrored. And I've been using it as like a replication for one of my other NAS. And like the other day I was looking, oh, your replication job has been failing because it's full.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, maybe I should buy some more drives. Right. so I can start to keep replicating my data. So 20 terabytes might be the thing for me to buy, I guess.
These will be enterprise exclusive, but that's how all this stuff works. It goes enterprise first.
Sure.
And then, but that's just, that's so much space. I just like, because again, I run all NVMe. So like, I can't imagine having a single drive that's 20 terabytes anymore.
Yeah. But I mean, I was looking at my folder. I keep like a recording of all of our Twitch sessions, right?
Yeah.
So I have, and going back like over a year, right? And it's terabytes of video.
Yeah.
And it adds up quick.
Oh yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. So very cool stuff. So do you think, how soon do you think we'll see a 20 terabyte? What's the 16 is the mat, or 18? 16?
I think there's an 18 available now outside of enterprise.
Outside of enterprise. Okay. So getting up there. That's just crazy to me. Also, talking about stuff that will be coming out here soon. SK Hynix, which is one of the biggest DRAM manufacturers in the world. They said they're going to be starting mass production of DDR5. They make the actual DRAM ICs that a lot of, you know, like the Corsairs and the any company that's making high performance memory, they'll use the SK Hynix ICs. Mass production will start in the second half of 2021, which we're kind of almost in. They announced that on their earnings call that they just had. And if you look at the speeds, max size of DDR4. So the max size of a single DDR4 stick is 32 gigabytes. But now the max size of a DDR5 event, I mean, will be one stick will be 128 gigs. Pretty crazy, right?
This is interesting.
This is interesting. I'm seeing this. So I haven't really researched DDR5 all that much, but this says channels per module 2. So is that essentially going to be two sticks that are essentially in one?
It's quad. It's no longer DDR. It's QDR, quad data. I don't know. Yeah. Like you said, I haven't really looked into DDR5 at all.
Interesting. I just saw that now. But obviously, they said a 50% increase in bandwidth per DIMM. And we've seen already companies release like what their specs going to be or what like their highest. I mean, we're going to be well over 5,000 megahertz on this stuff. It's going to be fast. And you're going to see it in all your next gen processors will support DDR5. So pretty excited for that. And then our last story is a gaming story, and I should have brought up the video because this looks pretty cool. So Battlefield 2042 is going to have a portal mode that's going to debut. They showed it off at EA Play Live, and it's going to be called Battlefield Portal, and it's going to allow like the game community to kind of create their own experiences. So you can take a map and you can be like we've seen this in games for years. But Battlefield is actually going to have like, you had to go on like certain servers. Like, I don't know if you guys remember like Counter-Strike, you had like the, like op only that you could play,
sure, like certain modifiers or rules.
You had like certain maps and stuff like that. So with Battlefield, they're going to do the same type of thing, but you're not going to need a private server. It's going to be built into the game. But they showed some really interesting things. I'm going to try to bring up the trailer so you can see that you can see sort of like the things that they're talking about, like the different guns and, you know, I wish I had the sound so you guys could hear it. I should have downloaded this so we could put it through the stream, which that's my fault. Let's go. So you can see all like the people you know, let me see. I think it's towards the end. They showed the guys with the, so like you can see you have, oh man, you can have like an old time plane against like a jet, stuff like that. You have, so you have all of these guys. So like you have like the old time guys with just knives. Right. And then you have the new, the guys, and all they have is, what do you call those? Like revive.
Shinny will know.
Yeah. Shinny will know. But like if you, yeah, if you want, like you could have something set up like that.
Defibrillators.
Where, yeah. Defibrillators were like, that's how the battle's going to go. Like, how fun would that be?
It'd be interesting. Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. One is...
Ah. Yeah. So it's like some really, really interesting. I think EA and like they're going pretty intense for this. I think they're going, you know, like look. So it's just like look at all. Yeah. So I think, and I think this is not going to be, like. It's not just going to be EA coming up with this stuff. I think that they're going to allow the community to create their own kind of scenarios with different things. And I think it's going to be, because again, you can play the same multiplayer over and over and over again, and it's fun. But if you just want to have some fun, or like you want to, you know, like they showed like that defibrillator versus knives, like that's what you want to play for an hour. Like,
well, that. Yeah. And like, maybe there's, like a lot of times in games, there's like, oh, this weapon is unbalanced, right? Or the community has a strong feeling about a certain weapon. You're just like, all right, well, we're just going to run this server. And that weapon is either no longer available or it's been tuned a bit, right, for us, because the developer either hasn't made that change or isn't going to, right? And you can just play, you know, with some of those modifiers.
Like, even just like Apex, like I've been thinking about this for so long. I was like, do you remember like Shotgun Sniper? Like we had much fun playing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, oh, like, you know what, dude, like this week, like let's play Shotgun Sniper. And like, you could just do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really think they're going all out with Battlefield 2042. I think we're going to have to get it for a little stream. We'll have to get Shinny to get it. And we'll have a little, little stream going on for that. So that is the news for this week, guys. Coming up next week, we have something for all you work at home people from Creative. It is their Sound Blaster Play 4. It is a very simple high res USB DAC, two-way noise cancellation. Because again, you know, for a lot of people working from home or working remotely, you know, like your AirPods or your just onboard microphone on your laptop isn't good, and if you're trying to do a conference call or a Zoom call, it's just not going to be good. So this is a simple little device, USB-C device, that plugs in, works with all the Sound Blaster software, and it does a lot of cool stuff that just makes it, you know, just makes everything easier for you as a, if you're giving a presentation or whatever. So pretty cool. I will have that for you guys. And then also, I'll be taking a look at the Lexar NQ100, which is their more affordable 2.5-inch SSD. We still, again, I'm an NVMe guy, as I said, but we still need normal SATA SSD. So I will be taking a look at that as well. So definitely stay tuned for that stuff next week. We come to the end here and we talk about tech. Is there any tech related stuff that you
know? But I was looking at that Sound Blaster, and it's a $30 device is all. That's nice. Yeah. Tech wise though, no, I have a couple things I'd like to get done, and I have a product on the way that I'm excited for. But pass out. No, I've been working on a bunch of work tech stuff, but that's not exciting and. In any way.
Actually, let me try to bring this stuff up because I have some stuff that I didn't put in the notes that I should have put in the notes. Hold on.
I have to get a drink ready for the stream. I'm thirsty.
I know. I have my
I saw your
your G Fuel on. So two things. The first is that Sony announced a new camera. I'm a Sony guy. I have, and this is what I shot on today, is this Sony. And then what you're watching me on is the Sony ZV-1. Sony announced a new camera, is their ZV-E10, which basically takes all the cool stuff from this camera, all the cool stuff that I love about this camera, but they made it in the same body basically as my A6300. And I think it's an awesome, like, I wouldn't get it now because I have essentially what it already is and I don't need another one. But if you're like a first time, you know, you want to up the quality of your YouTube game, this is a really cool camera. It has the eye autofocus, which this thing, if you would look at my screen right now, it's tracking my eye. That's why I'm always nice and in focus. It has all the cool stuff. It has really great audio. And I think just without the lens, I think it's $699 with the lens, it's $799. But that's the cool thing, is that it's interchangeable lens camera. So if you're just getting into photography or whatever, you can switch lenses. And I'm pretty, like, if this was like when I first bought this thing, I would have been so happy because this is everything that I want,
that you wanted,
that I wanted. The only thing it doesn't have stabilization built into the camera itself, which most cameras don't, unless you're getting into the super high end. But this has all the cool features. It has a flip out screen, as you can see. It's
cool.
I still kind of want to get it for my main A-roll cam, because it does have the eye auto tracking, which this does not. And if you've noticed, sometimes this goes out of focus, because it just sometimes does. This doesn't have the overheating issues, which the A6300 does, but I just don't think it's worth me upgrading. But it's, like I said, very cool camera.
Seems and pretty affordable, too.
Yeah, it's very affordable, $699. If you think that's, I think that's how much I paid for this. I think I paid more for this.
Yeah.
And it does have, it will do the same thing. So it doesn't have the overheating issues. So technically you could use it for the same thing that I'm using the ZV-1 for. Really cool stuff. Cool. So if you were, it's always interesting to see, especially like big YouTubers, like what goes into their business and things like that. And I'm sure anybody who's watching this or listening to this knows MBKHD. They started a new channel called The Studio, and The Studio is kind of like their behind the scenes of, you know, what it takes to run MBKHD. And I watched this video today, and I'll just let it run, but I literally had no clue this many people worked for him. Like, it's crazy the amount of people that he has, and his studio is amazing. Like, he's like, we have a room just for overhead shots. And I'm like, I need that. I need a room for just overhead.
Look at that space. Like, that's huge. So crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So really cool. And again, that's just me, because like I make videos and I'm into this stuff. But it's really cool. They just started the channel. So definitely check it out if you're into that kind of stuff. So that is, I'm trying to think if I did
anything. Hopefully else. It doesn't turn into like that studio looks like it's got some of the like niceties and everything, but that's not like overboard with some of those .coms and tech and Silicon Valley places where they're just like, yes, we need a pool table inside of a pool that can also be a hot tub. And you know, like they just go crazy with that. That looked like pretty practical stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's pretty, like I said, it's pretty cool setup. And again, I'm really surprised. I in my head, I was like, yeah, he has like a couple people working for him. But like, I mean, I think there's like 12. That's pretty crazy. Like 12 full-time people that are there. So
but is he the only like person most of the time in his videos?
I know that he had recent.
I don't like follow this, for example, you know, it was like him first, and now, you know, spun off and have all these other people.
I know for the most part he's the person in the videos, but I know they do a podcast and there's some other people on that. They have a full podcast studio in there, which is like amazing. You know, I've been researching podcast stuff recently too. So like there's, just watch a video. It's 30 minutes long, but there's some awesome stuff in there. And they do have a robot that's a camera robot that literally can do like all the B-roll that you want. And it's all like they control it with like an Xbox. It's like, I was like, I'd need this. It's probably like $50,000, but yeah. I want it. But in any case, really cool stuff there. I don't think I did anything else tech related. Did I? I don't believe so. So, all right, guys. Well, we are going to be gaming, and Shinny's here. So I assume Shinny, if he gets his audio stuff figured out, we'll be playing Apex Legends over on Twitch. If you guys want to continue to hang out with us, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, go ahead and go on over there. Also, guys, I didn't mention that this is Thursday, not Wednesday. So starting this week, at least through August, we will be moving from Wednesday to Thursday. Same time though, right, Ryan?
Yep.
Yeah, same time. So 8:30 p.m. Central, 5:30 p.m.
7:30 Central.
Oh, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, 5:30 West Coast time. We will we'll be here. So just moving the day to Thursday. So keep that in mind for the upcoming weeks. But we are going to end it here and head on over to Twitch again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And we'll see y'all next week.